Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Friday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour on the Super Talk Radio Network. Glad you tuned in, whatever station you find us or online. Welcome to the program. Broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg, Bob and Andrew today. Kelly is out. Full show. Patrick McGee's about to join us from the Times-Picayune in New Orleans. We're going to have former baseball player Bert Stevens on the show. Going to hear from the latest new basketball coach at the Southern Miss, Missy Bilderback. And we've got a great story, and we've got one of the ladies' golf coaches in here, and we're going to be telling her unique story here as well. First, let's go to New Orleans. That's where my buddy Patrick McGee told me this morning that he's been monitoring the Women's National Basketball Tournament. Timely, Patrick. Southern Miss announced a new basketball coach that I'm sure you're familiar with yesterday, and Missy Bilderback, in a time where women's basketball has reached an all-time high in popularity. And as you follow the women's tournament, which tends to get a little overshadowed, I guess, by the men's tournament, Patrick, is it shaping up to be another fan favorite like maybe the one we saw last year?
Yeah, I don't think really, you know, you say overshadowed a little bit. I guess you can still say that, but that shadow is getting pretty slight,
right,
you know.
Right.
Women's basketball has been more consistent in terms of quality, and the players are on the court. You know, there's, you know, the transfer portal does come into play in women's basketball, but I don't think it's been quite as heavy as it has been on the men's side. So you have really established coaches within women's basketball: Don Staley, Kim Mulkey. Coaches that really kind of demand a lot of attention and win consistently and really kind of have built large fan bases. So, and I think, like you mentioned, I mean, overall from the WNBA all the way down to college right now, women's basketball is as popular as it's ever been. I mean, they've created a new professional league here in the last year, 3-on-3 that seemed to be pretty successful at a national TV contract. So women's basketball almost certainly is on the rise right now, and it's men's basketball has taken a little bit of dip in the last 3 to 4 years.
Fair to say that that LSU is one of those women's teams that has a lot of cachet and really was a big role. The LSU-Iowa thing was obviously the catalyst, right?
Yeah, that was a pivotal moment, really, in the history of women's basketball. I think we'll be looking back on that for a very long time. And now that Angel Reese is gone from LSU women's basketball, it's obvious that attention is gone. I mean, in my previous role, it wasn't unusual, say, for me to write some stories on LSU women's basketball. And just me, myself, and the stories I write, it would generate like 1.4 million page views within the course of a month. And that just tells you the level of interest there is right now in women's basketball. And the personalities within the league, you know, are entertaining. Somewhat controversial, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's sports, and male athletes talk trash every bit as much as female athletes do. So for a lot of people, it kind of adjusts to where, you know, it's taken a little bit of this progression for women's basketball, I think, for really kind of everybody to have a greater appreciation of women's sports in general. They have a better understanding that men and women athletes really aren't that different at the end of the day.
Patrick, I want to ask probably the big reason women's basketball has skyrocketed is because the women don't go into the professional leagues until they graduate college. Right. So there's, you know, there's consistency, kind of the old school way of college athletics. But I do want to ask, you know, what's just kind of your take of unrelated Missy Bilderback being hired at Southern Miss? Obviously, you're familiar with everything out here, and just, you know, what's kind of your take of how Southern Miss may have handled that transition?
Well, I mean, it made a lot of sense whenever I heard about it. Bilderback is obviously a very good coach. She's been successful everywhere she's been, you know, immediately made a difference at ULM, a program that's not easy to, you know, within a program that really doesn't have many resources. And for her to be able to do that in Monroe says a lot about the quality of what kind of a coach she is. So I think it made a lot of sense for Southern Miss. I know this is an area that she's very familiar with. She understands the Southern Miss program. She knows what it's going to take to win at Southern Miss, and I think she's obviously super competitive, runs a tight ship, and knows how to put a good product on the court. So I think Southern Miss women's basketball is about to turn a corner.
I'm going to ask you and Andrew both this question. I want you both to answer this for me because you both have more knowledge about this than me. If Missy Bilderback comes here and they really start competing for a Sun Belt championship, and she guides them back to the NCAA tournament, which they have not been in 20-plus years, how big can the following become, Patrick, you first, how big can the following for Lady Eagle basketball become, you think?
You know, that's a good question. And, you know, I covered some Southern Miss women's basketball going way back, you know, a good 10, 15, 20 years. I'm thinking, when was my first game? I guess it was probably 20-something years ago. You know, I remember the Pauline Love days. And there was, you know, a dedicated group that came out and supported those girls whenever they were kind of, you know, where they were competing within the conference and trying to get into the NCAA tournament, could never quite get over the hump. And it was a modest following at the end of the day, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the answer to that question. Can Missy Bilderback tap into something that Southern Miss women's basketball hasn't had? I think for that to happen, I think she has to consistently get to the NCAA tournament. That's just my first impression.
I think I kind of compare it to Mississippi State. Remember when they had, of course, they were one of the top teams in the country, but I remember Southern Miss would host Mississippi State and they'd sell out Reed Green Coliseum just for people to come watch them. So I think, number one, in general, Hattiesburg, when a team is winning, they show up, which I think is big. And I do think if Missy was, I think, just in the mix to win the Sun Belt Conference, or if there was a chance to win it, you know, one game decides the regular season, I think you could see the crowd showing up pretty bigly very early. But, again, she's going to have to – yeah, you're going to have consistent winning. That's a big part of it. But – you know, the nice thing about Missy Bilderback being hired is, you know, if she wins, she's probably not going anywhere.
Right.
So that's that could help you big time in the long run.
Is the Sun Belt in women's basketball a one-bid league like in men?
Well, it should have been two this year. We've talked about that on the show, how JMU got hosed. But I think the women's league is better than the men's, and drastically. Now, mind you, I don't think highly of the men's either. But I think the women should have gotten two, and I kind of feel like they've been a 1-2-ish, but the problem with women's basketball, and it's been like this pre-transfer portal, the Power Fives run the table. I mean, they have been dominating women's basketball for decades.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about that last couple minutes left, Patrick, and that is NIL money. And I don't really think there's enough football, obviously, but really basketball greatly affected by transferring and money, more so than baseball. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, there's more money in basketball compared to baseball. There's really only so many baseball programs that really kind of devote money to the portal and really bringing players in at a significant level. Yeah, it's in fact, but I mean, transfers have been an issue in men's basketball for a while now. There's always been a certain bit of anxiousness and really not really willing to settle for your situation for men's basketball players for a while now. I mean, remember the Millinghouse Shadell? Mm-hmm. I think he played for like four or five different programs. And the transfer portal and the NIL deal has really just kind of ripped that up even more. So the transfer portal has been impacting men's basketball for a while now, but it's probably at an all-time situation right now in terms of instability. I mean, LSU has probably lost, they've lost probably their three or four best players to the portal in the last week. And that's just, if you don't win, that's going to happen because coaches are going to say, hey, I got to bring in new players. And it's not really the players' fault. It's the coaches like, look, I got to flip this roster over. You know, the pressure's on to win. And LSU's going to put more money into the portal, getting guys in the portal this year. So everybody kind of liked to point the finger at the players transferring, but now it's a kind of a two-way street.
Right. LSU baseball, one of those that does invest in the portal. Is that fair to say?
Right. Yeah. There's been a lot of turnover on the roster. And honestly, just interest is a little bit down, I think, in LSU baseball this year, just because I think there's a lot of LSU baseball fans who are, fairly run-of-the-mill fans, casual fans, who really don't know these guys yet. They don't have that personal connection to the team just yet.
Yeah.
I think that'll build throughout the season as they're winning games. But I think the portal has impacted things in a variety of ways in terms of interest. And I think it can go one way or it can go the other way. And even if you're having a solid team, there's not going to be quite the connection between the fans and the team.
All right, Patrick, good stuff, man. I appreciate your input. I look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Patrick McGee, everybody, sports editor of the Times-Picayune. When we come back, Sarah Tata Cora. Did I get that right, Sarah?
Yes.
All right. She is the graduate assistant coach on women's golf here at Southern Miss, and quite an interesting story. She's next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, that opening segment was sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. This segment by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street. Two great places. Dickey's is a great place to cater your next special event, and Campus Bookmart is just a good place to go to buy all your Southern Miss swag. Also, want to thank our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are just the finest on the road today, and you can visit their beautiful new showroom, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg, and thanks to Mr. Grubbs and Kevin for all they do for Southern Miss Athletics. All right, our next guest is a graduate assistant coach on the ladies' softball team.
Golf team.
And what a journey for Sarah Tata Cora. I got that right.
Yes.
All the way from Japan to Southern Miss. Now, Sarah, I've interviewed a lot of athletes and coaches that have come from various states, but I don't believe I've ever interviewed someone that came quite that far. Tell us about your journey, and how did you go from Japan to Hattiesburg?
Okay, so I started playing golf when I was 11 years old, and I was not good in school. So my parents were like, sports is the only way that you're going to make money. my dad found an international golf academy in Hilton Head, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. So basically say you're going here and learn golf and English, and you're going to turn professional golfer. So I came here when I was 12 years old.
On your own?
My own, yes.
Wow.
And you had no say in this?
No. They just say, you're going. I say, okay. So I got to Hilton Head, and I cried every day, and quoting my dad saying, I want to come home. Because first, I was not good in golf, and I didn't know any English at all. So, like, I was not able to communicate with other friends and coaches. There are Japanese people in that school too, but it just felt different. But my dad was like, no, you're not coming home, tough it up, you'll be okay. So I did that for 2 years, and I was able to communicate with others and learn golf, and I became a pretty good golfer
at 12.
Yeah. So I was probably around like 13, 14, but
Now, did your dad was there a purpose of you learning English as well? You told me it was to help out the family business, ideally.
So my dad's plan was to have a company in U.S. So he was like, you know what, we're doing this, so you go ahead and go to U.S. and learn English so that you can translate it for us when they move here in U.S., mm-hmm. which never happened. Mm-hmm. They're still in Japan.
But you did learn English.
I did.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, I guess I'll do it. So that's how it happened.
That's really quite amazing.
So the lifestyle of one of those academies, you kind of hear about them, but you never, like, you know they exist, but nobody quite knows what the lifestyle's like. So what was that like? You get up and play golf and then go to school? I mean, what was that like?
Yeah, so we have two different groups. So I was in I'll get up 6:30. School starts at 7 a.m. through 12. And then after that, you play golf the whole afternoon. And then other team will do, they'll go play golf in the morning, and then we switch, and then they will have school in the afternoon. So that was the everyday. During the weekends, I didn't have anything other than playing golf. So that golf was...
Your life.
Life, yes.
How do you not burn out?
Right now, I am burned out. I still play golf with the girls on the team. I actually went play 9 holes with them this morning. But competing. I love competing. I'm very competitive. But playing the tournaments and stuff, I'm done.
All right. So you left North Carolina. You ended up playing golf at Kansas. Is that University of Kansas?
Yes. So I was recruited by University of Kansas. My end of junior year, I was very committed to different school. I committed freshman year in high school. But I decommitted, got recruited by KU, and I played golf from 2017 to 22. It was amazing. I took a COVID year, stayed for a fifth year, and it was amazing. The KU was everything that I wanted it to become a professional golfer. So
then you played professional golf a couple of years before you came here, right?
No, so I played from 2022 to 23, and then decided realized that playing golf wasn't what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I actually love coaching more and be there for other girls that are, you know, younger girls. And I thought that I would be big help, be able to help them and become where they wanted to achieve.
But you started the process of becoming, you played in those tournaments. Can you kind of explain that path?
So being a professional golfer is a little bit different. So you can technically said after you graduate, or you even right now saying, if you're registering for a tournament, there is a section says, are you a professional or amateur? And so you can say yes. So you can say yes to being a professional golfer and play all the professional golf tournaments that you want to play. But if you want to play in LPGA tournaments, there are 3 different stages that you have to go through. It's called Q School. So stage 1 is in California. They just changed it, the location, this year, but past 2 years I played in California, and you have to make it to top 126, and then you move on to stage 2. there are more people adding to that tournament. And if you make it through stage three, it's only top 30 will make it to LPGA. And yeah, so that's the process. That
and it starts out with how many people?
It's about 500-700. It's a lot of people. And it's not cheap, I would say.
It's down to 30.
Yeah.
And 30. Yeah.
And how far did you get into it?
I went to stage two and I missed by one. So
wow. 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 But here you are now.
I'm here now, yes.
And, so your dream job is to get your own program.
Yes, I do. My dream job is to be the head women's golf team for a Power 5 school, mm-hmm. and I want to win the national championship.
That's
so
pretty good, yeah.
But you need a job now, is that right?
I do. I'm graduating in this May, so I'm looking for a job, coaching positions. So, if
just throwing it out there, yeah. Did you tell me Jones is about to start a golf program, Jones College?
That's the word on the street, I
think.
This
would be a great coach, yeah. Right here. This would be a great coach. Yeah. So how did you know this guy?
Oh,
Andrew.
Mutual friends.
Yeah.
Just, you hear the tale, and uh-huh. I was like, well, okay, well, that's cool for radio.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wanted to ask you, what's it been like coach? Like, this is your first official go-around coaching. What's the women's golf program been like for you? There's obviously a new coach,
yes.
and he's had some success. You
yes.
guys have a new facility.
Yep.
Tell us about all that.
Yeah, it's been great. The one thing I learned real quick was being patient. Sometimes you get frustrated with stuff that I'm going to do it, but some girls won't do it. And so that was the big thing that I learned, was to just be patient and just explain things to girls, because some of the girls, you know, need a little bit more experience than other girls do. So it's been awesome. Our teams are heading towards great direction that we're hoping. But new coach Colwyn, he is great to work with, and he has a big vision for our program, and hopefully in the next few years we will get back to, you know, being top 25 in the country and hopefully mm-hmm. win a national championship.
And that new facility has been a big boost, hasn't it?
Yes, it's been really nice. Just recruiting side of it, you know, you get to show them, you know, this is what we have. I believe that it's one of the best in the country. So it's been awesome.
And for the listeners at home, it's a brand new $1.2 million facility at which golf course again?
Hattiesburg Country Club.
Hattiesburg yeah. Country Club. I got to see it when they opened it, wrote a story about it, and that thing is
really nice.
That's nice. I'm not going to lie.
Sarah, your story is amazing. I'm really happy Andrew brought you here. I think you may be the bravest person I've talked to on this show. The bravery that it took at age 13 to move to a foreign country by yourself.
Well, she didn't have a choice, Bob.
Well, yeah, it's incredible. I mean, how many people would have the fortitude to do that?
Oh, so. the learning the new language part of it,
yes,
and being thrust
yes.
into a whole new culture sounds terrifying.
Yes. You are very impressive.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming and sharing your story. And Jones College, if you're listening, here's a coach for you. Thank you, Sarah. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, our thanks to Sarah Tatakora for coming in. And Andrew, I appreciate you setting that up. I think that is one of the most fascinating stories I've heard on my 10 years on this show.
I heard it, and you know, you have one of those conversations of, I have these conversations, so how do you find your way to Hattiesburg? And that is by far the wildest one I've ever heard.
11 years old, you just 11 years old and leave everything you know, come to a foreign country and go to a school where you're the only person there.
And play golf for eight straight years or however long it was. That's crazy. And then to end up here of all places.
Yeah, and then you end up in Hattiesburg. Well, let's just hope that her dream comes true and she finds the job she's looking for.
She's good people for those who are scratching their heads thinking, maybe I could hire a golf pro here. Mm-hmm. So,
and on a political comment, that's the sort of people from other countries we want in America. And good for her, man. I hope.
I think those are the people in general you want. 1,000%. People who work hard and trying to make their way.
1,000%. Don't let me get sideways here.
Yeah, don't.
We kind of had that.
We got to talk. We got to talk.
Off the air discussion. We both got a little fired up about that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk some women's basketball. Missy Bilderbach was officially introduced yesterday. She had her you know, big show press conference, and then we had a press conference with her. After that, we spoke to Jeremy McClain as well as Coach Bilderbach. But we got some.
Here we go.
Some sound bites from that. So here it is.
Here we go.
How valuable is it for you to kind of get that first 2 years in D1 before?
Oh, I'm going to tell you, Andrew, incredibly valuable. I mean, I kind of had a chance to work those kinks out a little bit and just learn how to, you know, I kind of jumped into, hey, I'm a mid-major head coach, but not just a mid-major head coach. I'm in the Sun Belt. And the Sun Belt is an incredibly athletic league. In women's basketball, it's a very talented league. A lot of parity in the league. And so, you know, I learned a lot in those 2 years. And I think it's going to give me an opportunity to be a much better basketball coach moving forward, just having that experience.
What do you think was the biggest thing you had to learn when you made the jump?
Yeah, I think, you know, just when you're leading young people and you're leading a staff, I think you've got to always make sure you have the, not necessarily the best players, but the right players. And having that chemistry as far as building your roster. I think the roster building is extremely important. You know, you look at some of the teams that have been successful in the league and the way they've been able to build their roster. And, you know, I think last year I really had an opportunity to kind of dissect our program from A to Z, maybe, and see, like, how can we be better. And sometimes when you have the transfer portal and it's kind of a new age in basketball, you just go out and you have these power four transfers and you just grab the best players you can, right? And so I think for us moving forward, making sure we get the right people and the players that fit, you know, what we're trying to do as a team the best. So that was one thing that I learned for sure, just having that experience.
What's your pitch to, you know, two players you're still trying to sign this roster? Obviously, you're bringing some players from ULM as well.
Right, right. I think it was an easy sell. The university sells itself. The town sells itself. And so, you know, I think, you know, maybe in Monroe I had to sell me a lot and our staff a lot, where here there's so many different things I can sell. You know, I can sell the entire athletic department, the athletic program. I can sell the tradition of the program here. You know, it's not a rebuild. This program is in great shape. And so you don't have to, you know that this program is one that's respected and used to winning. And so, you know, I think it's a situation where people want to be places where they can see themselves being successful, where they can see themselves being happy, and they can see themselves winning basketball games. And so really easy sell. You know, I think we had four kids go in the portal, I guess, Monday because of the coaching change. And all four signed with us on Monday. So you know, it didn't take much work to get them down here for sure.
Who are all three?
Ja'Kayla Johnson, first team all-conference. Melanie Timms, she was our second leading scorer this year. Sakaya White, I think she had, don't quote me on this for sure, Andrew, but I think she had 10 double-doubles this season for us. And then Brekayla Gray, a former Lady Eagle.
And then just kind of overall, what's kind of the status of the roster? I mean, how many players do you hope to bring in? It's kind of a weird turnover.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, a few of the kids jumped in the portal before I got hired. A few had visit sets. Like, Trinity and I have had great conversation. She's on a visit right now. Going to meet with her this weekend and her family. You know, a few of the other kids, JB. You know, I think there's a few kids in the portal, but, you know, Whitney Hart's committed to staying. I think that's a big get for us. Whitney is a super talent. Talented freshman. She unfortunately got hurt this year, but she's going to be back, I think, better than ever. She's working super hard and looks great out there. You know, Morgan Sieper is going to stay with us for sure. Jemiah Evans, you know, there's a few kids that are still making decisions, but for sure those three I know are locked in. You know, we'll know hopefully soon about Trinity and JB, but, you know, I think every kid has their path and their plan, and, you know, so we're just right now trying to make sure we find the best fit for each student athlete and make sure everybody's got a great place to play basketball next year, whether it's at Southern Miss or wherever, you know, it might be.
Is your staff finalized yet?
We are still working on our staff. There's a few domino effects. We have a few people that may be in some other jobs right now, some head coaching jobs. So just kind of waiting on the domino effect of like who they hire and when, you know, hopefully by, I would say mid to end next week, we'll have everything finalized.
Can you share who you know for sure?
Lauren Pittman is definitely coming with me. You know, she's coming with me. She's been with me, I think she was with me 6 years at Jones College and the 2 years at Monroe. She's a former Lady Eagle, loves Hattiesburg, and, you know, loves the program. Lauren Gross will be coming in some capacity, support staff type capacity, a former Lady Eagle as well. So, but that's really probably all I can share right now, just because based on, you know, hiring and whatnot, that could shake up a little. Yes.
All right, so the new era begins, Andrew, and I still have trouble wrapping my head around the new world of college athletics. You know, when you hear she's coming back, former Lady Eagle who was with me at Monroe is now coming back, but that's where we live.
That is so weird about how Brekayla Gray's, that's the new age. She played here in Hattiesburg, I think, for at least 2, maybe 3 years, transfers to ULM, and is now coming back. That's
yeah,
so strange.
It's just, it's,
I thought she was out of eligibility, so...
Yeah. Yeah,
it's strange. And then you talk about the coaching domino effect, the recent news. Scotty Fletcher of Pearl River Community College quickly takes the job at ULM. So I don't know if that's one of the ones she was referencing. Probably not. But, yeah, it's the new age of college basketball and college sports.
Well, Fletcher had some pretty remarkable teams
absolutely.
At Pearl River. That's a well-deserved.
And if you're stuff. ULM, this worked pretty well for me with Builder back. Let's try it again 2.0. so but yeah, you know, I thought it was interesting how she mentioned it seems like Trinity Rowe is her returning is not off the table, and from what I've gathered, they're going to make a push to try and keep her.
Tell me, and this is just, you know, speculation in general terms, how's the program going to be different under Missy Builder back than the 20 plus years of Joy Lee McNellis?
Well, the playing style is going to be really different. I mean, Joy for the longest time, and it worked for majority of the time while she was here, of, you know, having a big on the floor, kind of a classic setup, slower style of offense. I guess it's now deemed the old school style of basketball. That's what she was running. And the new age is different. The new age is run and gun, shoot a lot of threes, be quick. And that's what Builder back's going to be. That's what the modern game of, especially women's basketball, but basketball as a whole has become. And so that they're going to look really different on the court. That's probably going to be the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Off the court, it'll be interesting to see what, you know, the fan base will be like. I'm sure with her having a lot of local connections, there'll be some, maybe a little more interest. Not to knock Joy in any way, because, you know, she had some really great years and definitely stirred up some interest not that long ago, as I point to the WNIT run. But I think that's going to help them early on, maybe get some more butts in the seats. But, you know, like we mentioned earlier, she's got to win if she really wants to get this going.
If you can keep Trinity Rowe, the freshman of the year, and bring in a first string,
first team
all conference player, that's a pretty good foundation on which to start.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, Whitney Hart was supposed to be, not I, Baker, we've talked, Jason Baker has talked about it, it's been talked about on the show. Whitney Hart was going to be a key piece of this team this year. And, you know, she's definitely the big presence. She was going to help Malia Grayson down low, and she got hurt this year and couldn't play. So that's a big keep for them. They're keeping Morgan Sieper, who I think is a really great glue piece and a great locker room presence, quite honestly. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like if you can keep the best pieces of Southern Miss's team, bring the best pieces at ULM's team, should have a solid team right now.
It's the new world, brother.
Yeah, and they're not done signing, and I think a lot of it's going to – I'm curious to see what the rest of her coaching staff is going to look like. Lauren Pittman was expected to kind of be there. She's been with her for, I guess, 8 years now, like she mentioned. But I'm curious to see if there's any local coaches that end up on her staff or where she finds the rest of her staff. That's probably my biggest question mark.
Well, the new era begins. Hey, as we go to break, remind you to stay informed with the Pine Belt News. You can go, that's your go-to source for news and sports coverage in the Hattiesburg area. You can also explore their other publications, Signature Magazine, and you can get the Pine Belt News delivered to your home for just $35 a year or $55 annually if you live outside of Forest and Lamar counties. And hey, this weekend, make a visit to MCS Home Center in Bellevue, Highway 98 West. Thousands and thousands of square footage. Everything for your home, for your garden, for your backyard. If you're a weekend warrior, there's no reason to go anywhere else. They're open and wanting to do business with you. Local folks, MCS Home Center, Bellevue, Highway 98 West. We'll be back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, fun show today. We really appreciate Patrick McGee and Sarah Tatakora. I did pretty good with that, didn't I, Andrew? Sarah Tatakora.
You did. Very good. I'm a lot better than me.
Proud of myself. And, of course, enjoyed hearing from the new basketball coach, Missy Bilderback. This segment sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street. Softball, baseball training, state-of-the-art facility. Luke Reynolds is the manager there. Bert Stevens is a former baseball player for the Golden Eagles, played in 81 and 82, and then coached with Corky Palmer at Meridian Community College. And I'm sure if we had time, he could give us days of stories. We always love hearing our stories about Coach Palmer. But now Mr. Stevens is involved in raising money for a wonderful cause, a scholarship in Coach Palmer's honor at Meridian Community College, where his coaching career really, I guess, really is where he grew his roots, Mr. Stevens. Is that fair to say?
I think it is. I think it is, Bob. Of course, Hill Denson gave him his start at Southern Miss as a pitching coach, but he cut his teeth as a head coach on the college level there, absolutely.
Yeah. Tell us about the scholarship, what you're trying to accomplish.
So the scholarship is in, obviously in Corky's honor at Meridian Community College. It's going to go every year to a young man who exemplifies the characteristics that Corky looked for in a player. A great teammate, someone who maybe overcame some adversity, just worked hard, all the things that we know that Corky wanted. To get the scholarship endowed takes $25,000, and we're about halfway there. We will ultimately fully endow it, which is going to be about $80,000. But our goal right now is to hit that $25,000 number.
Now, where can people give to this, and where could they?
Yes, sir. Andrew, thank you for that question. You can go online to meridiancc.edu/give. And when you get to that page, you're going to be able to fill out some general information. But one of the first questions is, where do you want this money to go? And people just enter Corky Palmer Scholarship, and it'll get to them.
Well, that sounds pretty easy.
Yeah.
Such, it is.
Such a great man and such an iconic figure that will live forever, really, in Southern Miss history. And we had the privilege of having on this show a number of times, and I bet you wouldn't be surprised if I told you pretty much all you had to do was ask Coach a question and just sit back and let him go.
You're exactly right, Bob. He loved to tell stories. He was the best at it. As I mentioned before, he's the funniest person I ever knew without trying to be. But he could spin a yarn very well.
Yeah, no question. Your greatest memories of Coach Palmer?
You know, I think my greatest memories of Coach is just the everyday things that we used to do. But the biggest thing is, when I worked for him at Columbia High School, I was there 1 year after I left Southern Miss, he told me, I want you to coach third base. I want you to work the hitters and infielders and outfielders. He told me he's going to do pitchers and catchers. So early in my career, I'm coaching third base. It's like this first or second game. Had runs on first and second, no out. I look at him and say, you want to bunt? He shook his head no, so we didn't bunt. After the inning was over, I went to the dugout and said, why didn't you want to bunt? Didn't the situation call for it? He said, yeah, it called for it. He said, you're absolutely right, but you're forgetting one thing. I said, well, what's that? He goes, that kid can't bunt. I never ask a kid to do something again. And then he said, second thing, I'll put you at third base because I trust you. Don't ever ask me again what to do. I trust you to do it. And that's why people love coaching for him. I mean, he just gave you responsibility and he lets you go out and you do your job. And it was a wonderful 4 years.
Yeah. I wish I had time to tell you all the Corky Palmer stories we've heard. One of my favorite was at the Conference USA tournament a few years ago, and they kept interrupting the game for lightning out across the Gulf of Mexico. And it was sunshining when they would interrupt the game, and I heard him up in the press box, and he was just raising hell with the tournament director. And he said, my God, I can remember we used to sit on the beach in aluminum chairs just to watch the lightning, and now we're going to have people out here that get sunburned during rain delays. And he stomped out of the press box, and the tournament director, this won't surprise you, never said a word except, yes, sir, coach. Yes, sir, coach.
Well, you know, I did a story on Corky after he passed, and one of the fun ones people like to tell, and I'm sure you could probably tell the story of this, is Corky would, you know, they would call in at the old Hattiesburg American to give the game scores, and Corky was the only coach that would show up in full uniform and hand them the box score.
There you go. Mr. Stevens, real quick, just a few seconds. Again, how can people donate to this great cause?
Go online to meridiancc.edu/give and just fill out the information and make sure you designate it for Corky Palmer Scholarship.
I just can't think of a better thing. Everybody, all of us that knew him loved him, and I really appreciate you doing this, Mr. Stevens.
You are very welcome. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to talk about it.
All right, Bert Stevens, everybody. All right, Andrew, good week, good show today. Thank you for bringing Sarah in. I think that could be the most interesting human interest story we've aired on this program.
I don't know. Kelly's been on here. That's an interesting human.
Well, that's a different kind. That's a different kind of human interest story.
But let's hope we can get some baseball in this weekend. Right. Weather's not looking great.
No, it's not. Baseball tonight at 6:00. I understand they're meeting later this afternoon to determine what to do, and we'll pass that along as soon as we hear it.
Fingers crossed.
Have a good weekend, Andrew.
Thank you. You too.
We'll be back Monday at 1:00. Until then, Southern Miss to the top.
Into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.